back here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora on wakeupcalldt.com. Back on the line here, we have Jason from Maryland wants to talk about Syracuse. Jason, how you doing?
I'm hanging in there, Dan. Last night was a very disappointing and disheartening performance for sure.
Absolutely. You know, this is a team that has struggled on the road, has lost all four of their games away from the Carrier Dome, three in a row now that they've lost. So, you know, this is something that's a telltale sign, potentially, of what they could be in the Big East tournament and, even more importantly, in the NCAA tournament, which I'm sure not a lot of people want to see.
No, I mean, the game last night was just a microcosm of all their problems. They couldn't do anything as far as getting in the lane. Trish had an awful game. If they have one of the, if they play like that the first weekend of the tournament, of the NCAA tournament, they're going home. There's no question in my mind. That's what scares me about this team. They have the potential to go to the Final Four, but I mean, they're just not consistent with their performances at all. So, you know, it's definitely a concern for sure.
And you know, when you're watching this game in general, you know, what do you want to talk about first, Jason? Looking at this game, I mean, obviously, we've both agreed that this is not something that Syracuse can continue to do because of what they've shown so far. You know, not being able to shoot, struggling on the road, just really looking like they're not the same team when they're on the road. So where do you want to go first?
Well, the first thing I want to say is I thought the effort in that game was awful. I thought that they did not play hard. And it's like sometimes I think this team believes they're just going to walk out on the court and their jersey's going to win the game for them. Now, granted, they have talent, but talent without effort is just talent. It's not going to win you games. And Connecticut wanted that game more from the beginning. Nothing changed. I was disappointed with pretty much everybody. I thought that the defense was awful. Sutherland's rotations in the defense were awful. I thought Jeremy Grant should have played more. I have absolutely zero idea why C.J. Fair was on the bench for the last 5 minutes of the game. This was the most upsetting performance I've seen from them in a long time. I was very embarrassed. I mean, to me, it was an embarrassing performance because we did not play hard. People can say what they want. That was not a good effort by the team, and that is a problem. That's been a problem. You know, not going diving for loose balls, not busting their tail, getting after these guys, slow rotations, just not being in the game, and then. The biggest thing out of everything that I do not understand about this team is, to me, their overall best player and most consistent player is C.J. Fair, and yet they refuse to give this guy touches. They refuse to give him as many touches as he needs to get this team going. And then Boeheim sits him for the last 5 minutes for I don't know why. I have absolutely zero idea why he would sit your best player and me, an all Big East player to me, For the last 5 minutes of a road game that you need to win. I mean, the division, or not the division, but the conference is close now. Georgetown's catching up, and we got two games with them. And I'll tell you right now, we play like this, we'll lose both of them. So it was a very disheartening performance. I can take losing, but I can't take the lack of effort.
And that's definitely understandable. You know, when a team loses in a valiant effort, when a team goes out there and is diving for the loose ball, is getting after it, doing everything they possibly can, then you can understand the loss. But the win looked like it was taken out of the sails. You know, I had written in a story right after the game that the fight was taken out of the orange a lot sooner than the game had ended. Those last 5 minutes that C.J. Fair was out, Syracuse looked like a completely different team. And didn't really look like that effort was there, that want, the desire, the need to win the game. And, you know, usually when there's a minute 15 to go and your team is within 8 or, you know, wherever you're at that point, even within 10 or 12, you've seen teams like the Ohio States of the world and Kansas, Duke, North Carolina fight down to the wire, give it everything that they have. You know, Kentucky, even fighting against Florida, no matter what they were allowing Florida to do, just continuing to push. And Syracuse just doesn't seem to have that effort. They don't seem to have that drive that once they get to a certain point, they say, okay, there's a minute 15 left. We're down by 8. We lost the game. And I think that that's something that a lot of people have seen with Syracuse over the years, and you being a longtime fan, I'm sure you've seen it, is that you can tell the moment that Syracuse lost the game, and it's usually before the game is over. And that's something that happened against UConn, and, you know, I think it's tougher for Syracuse fans such as yourself because they lost to Connecticut, not to Seton Hall, not to Providence, not to Marquette, but they lost to a team that they've had a rivalry with for so long.
And to add to that, it's the last game you're playing them. So it's a rivalry game. It's a respect game. You want to win the last game in the series. I just think the team lacks the necessary focus to make a deep run in the tournament. And I hate saying that, but, I mean, Rock missed a dunk that would have cut it to 4 with a minute 15 left. You cannot miss that dunk. It was a wide-open dunk. He missed that. They missed a ton of layups again. And to me, that's focus. They need to stay focused. They need to, I don't know what it is, come out with some fire. They don't have a guy like a Scoop Jardine on this team that's going to fire this team up and to get after people. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's just frustrating because I see the potential, but I also see the fact that nothing's changing. I mean, it's the performances are just too inconsistent. And to make a run to the Final Four, you're going to need 4 straight, consistently good to great games against good to great teams. And I just don't see it. And it's disappointing to me because I feel like they have the talent, but they lack the effort. And that just makes me sick to my stomach because they have the players.
And they definitely do. You know, this is a team that has a lot of talent out there. C.J. Fair is one of the guys that definitely comes to mind with a lot of people. You know, he's one of the most consistent players. The most consistent player is Brandon Trish as far as scoring in double digits. In this game, he resides right below that, though. He gets 9 points in the game. Michael Carter-Williams, 1 assist. His average is 8.5, and if you look at the games that they lose, his assists are down substantially. The game that they lost to Villanova, he had 4 assists. He had 2 assists in the loss to Pittsburgh, and 1 assist here in this loss to the UConn Huskies. So Michael Carter-Williams definitely has an effect on this team. He had 4 turnovers in the game. He fouls out of the game. So I think another thing that's not brought up a lot is Michael Carter-Williams and his factor. The fact that, you know, the shot that you were talking about, that dunk that Rakeem Christmas missed, was off of a shot by Michael Carter-Williams where Trish got the defensive rebound at the foul line, had a great outlet pass to Michael Carter-Williams. Carter-Williams goes down, and I said, wow, he's going to go to the basket. I know he's going to rush this shot, and he didn't. He stopped for a moment, and I said, wow, he surprised me here. He's going to wait for everybody to get down. As his teammates were coming down the floor, he went toward the basket, took the basketball from his hip, turned around, and heaved the ball up in a shot that he wasn't even directing completely toward the basket once he took the ball up. Just looked like a last-second, last-ditch effort. We're down by 2. We have to tie the game and go to overtime type of shot. And that was not the shot to take. And I don't think it's stated enough that Michael Carter-Williams, with everybody talking about NBA and assist catalyst and everything that he does, that it's not talked about enough, and I'm impartial, so I'm going to say it, that Michael Carter-Williams makes a lot of mistakes, and he puts Syracuse in a lot of bad positions, and this was one of those games where you take the ball from your hip and throw it up and give up an entire possession. And this is, you know, a guy that was doing it in the first half of the game as well, rushing shots, rushing possessions, not making use of the shot clock, not getting a good shot off, and looking frantic. And I think that that's something that doesn't just happen in this UConn game. It's happened a lot this season.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I thought, to be quite honest with you, I thought UConn, they just ate our guards up. I thought Boatwright and Calhoun just killed us. Carter Williams, he dribbles too much. When he's pressured by smaller guards, can't handle it. Brandon should definitely be the primary ball handler when there's pressure, because Michael Carter-Williams will turn the ball over with more regularity. I was really disappointed in his game last night. The spacing of the offense was horrible. The passing of the offense was horrible. I mean, they did not move the ball at all. It was dribble, 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 you know, maybe one pass and a jumper. Listen, when you're 4 for 21 or whatever they were, and 0 for 17 or 0 for 13 or whatever it was besides James, you got to get in the lane, man. You got to drive the lane and get fouled. Get the ball to C.J. I just don't get it. C.J. Fair is the glue of this team. You've got to get him the ball. Michael Carter-Williams has got to get him the ball. His mid-range game is great. I think C.J. needs to be in there 37 minutes a game. I have no clue why Boeheim said him. I still have no idea. Nobody asked him in the press, or all they asked him was if he was injured, I think. So, if this is the performance we're going to get out of Michael Carter-Williams, and really Brandon. I mean, Brandon was awful in the first half. He played a little better in the second half, but we're going as far as our guards take us. And if we play like that, we're not going far. And, we really the key to our offense is spacing, movement, and passing the ball. And when we get stagnant and dribble the ball around, and usually this is pretty much a Michael Carter-Williams thing, we dribble the ball around and he's you know, waving everybody to do something or whatever, and he's got some of the most negative body language I've seen out of a player. He's whining last night. I mean, play the game. Play the game hard. Don't bitch about refereeing. Don't get into that. That's not your job. That's the coach's job. Just play the game hard. Get in the lane. Do what you do. His thing is driving the basket and pass the ball to the open man. He didn't do that last night. All they did was sit back and settle for jumpers. And if that's the way they're going to play, they're not going to be playing for long, because they're not going to be, you know, people will let them shoot all day. So, I mean, it was just as uplifting as the St. John's game was. This game just let all the air out of the balloon for me. It was just an awful, 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 awful performance. I thought they would come out in the second half, and they did make a little run. And then once it was almost like once Connecticut didn't bow down to them, they were like, oh, well, it looks like we're screwed. And they just, I mean, I don't know, they wilted. They just wilted. They didn't make free throws down the stretch. I mean, they did everything that you can't do to win a game, and they did all the things you can't do. And it's just I'm frustrated more because I feel like this team has the potential to do great things, but the lack of effort. The only guy I really think that gives there's two guys or three guys that really bust their tail every game. That's Jeremy Grant, C.J. Fair, and Brandon Trish. And for us to get where we need to go, we need eight guys. Trevor Cooney does too, but he's not ready for Big East basketball at this point. So, I mean, you've got Rock, Bye can't catch the ball. Michael Carter-Williams sometimes thinks he's, you know, doing an NBA audition. It's just really frustrating. And Sutherland was jacking 40-foot threes. It's one game, but it's a microcosm of this team. I just can't see the consistency from them. And not playing well on the road is not going to translate well in the tournament. It's just not. So I don't know what Boeheim needs to do, but he needs to do something, because if he just lets them keep playing like this, it's going to be another disappointing season, and it's going to be more fuel to the Boeheim's an overrated coach fire, and I don't want to hear any more of that. So hopefully they can get after it this weekend at Seton Hall, win a road game, get that off their back. I mean, this team won at Louisville, so when they're focused and ready to play, they can beat good teams on the road. But if they come out half-assed and just think, oh, we're going to roll the ball out because we're Syracuse and they're just going to roll over, teams don't do that in the Big East. Connecticut's not going to do that, and I'll tell you what, Seton Hall will not do that. They will come out and they will play hard despite the fact that they've got a ton of injuries. I've watched that team play. They've got a great player in Edwin, and if we don't come out ready to play, we can lose that game too. So I hope they learn their lesson, but I doubt it.
You know, you brought up a lot of different things there, Jason, and one of the things is the fact that teams will let Syracuse shoot all day, and I definitely agree with that. You know, Syracuse, as you had brought up, Sutherland makes 4 of 9 three-point shots. The rest of the team is 0 for 14 in the game. As far as jump shooting goes, this is not really a jump shooting team. If you look beyond C.J. Fair and James Sutherland, there's really not a lot of jump shooting. Brandon Trish has his nights, and he has his moments, but you're not going to get a lot of that out of Rakeem Christmas. Michael Carter-Williams, his shots are sporadic, and you know, most of the time he's going to the basket, but he's been taking a lot of off-balance, confusing, questionable shots. Baikita's not going to take jump shots. And Trevor Cooney is just one of those guys that, you know, he told me he's confident in his shot, but, you know, I still to this day think that that's not completely true. And not to say that Trevor's a liar, I just think that he needs to give himself more time. The telling thing that bothers me is that after the win against St. John's, they asked Michael Carter-Williams how he feels he's playing, that his assists had gone down and they went back up in the last couple of games before UConn, where he had 8 assists against Pittsburgh and 8 assists against St. John's. And he said that he's playing great. And my father always told me to never over something, never say higher than what the truth is. You know, basically don't build people up if it's not there yet. So, you know, I thought that he, you know, it would make sense to say pretty good or good, but to say I'm playing great is to say that he's not making these mistakes, that he's not turning the ball over most of the time more than anybody else on the team, that he's not looking at a guy like C.J. Fair and deciding to keep the ball instead of passing it off, that he's not going through this game and wasting down the shot clock because he wants to take the shot. Those things aren't happening. Michael Carter-Williams is making the mistakes, and you're a floor general. And your job as a floor general is to look for your teammates first. I know he wants to score. I know he wants to get out there and he wants to affect the team, and people criticized him for passing the ball too much in the beginning of the season, and now they're criticizing him for not taking, you know, for not passing it enough and taking too many shots. But Michael Carter-Williams has to find the balance, and he's too young. This is the thing. The NBA might take a guy like Michael Carter-Williams, but at the age of 24, 25, 26, 28, you're not going to be in the league anymore if you don't understand the game of basketball, and you have to grow as a man. People think that you just have to grow on this, you know, grow right there on the court and you're fine, but the people that last in the NBA grow as men. Dwight Howard is not a man. He's a boy. He's a child. He's obsessed with himself. And I spent enough time around him to know that Superman, which is what he calls himself, is kryptonite to any team. And you can see that. Him and I are the same age, and I feel like he's 14 compared to my age. And that's because of his mentality. That's because of how he treats himself, how he treats his teammates, how he looks at the game. And I can't say everything because I'm not in his brain. I could just say that the personality traits that he has and the notions that I've made from the time that I've spent around him have not proven me wrong yet. And Michael Carter-Williams has to think about this. You were on the bench last year. You came off the bench. You had Deion Waiters in front of you. You had Scoop Jardine in front of you. At some times, you had Brandon Trish in front of you. There were games that you never played a lick. Now, you're asked to be the floor general. You didn't go from, you know, if this is a step five program, you went from step one to step five in one season. You didn't take 2, 3, and 4 steps. You just went right to 5. So what you need to understand is you're a leader now. You weren't a leader before. It takes time to learn how to be a leader. If you're at Kentucky, Calipari doesn't care. Go to the NBA. See you later. Make your money. I did what I told you I was going to do. But if you're Michael Carter-Williams and you're playing at Syracuse, Jim Boeheim, and I respect him as a coach. He's got over 900 wins. I get this. The only thing that I ask of coach is to think. Just humor me. Humor me in this respect. You got in Deion Waiters' face. He became a better player. You got in Scoop Jardine's face, he became a better player. You got in Brandon Trish's face, he became a better player. So get into Michael Carter-Williams' face and attempt, just attempt, to make him a better player. Because if you let him just free willy and go out there and do what he feels is right, don't expect the best every single night, because the leadership is not there yet. And because that leadership is not there, this team is not going to go anywhere anytime soon. This is a team that can lose in their first or second game in the Big East tournament. This is a team that I'm not saying Final Four. You know, so many people bought into James Sutherland is back, now this team is great. James Sutherland is back, which gives them another element, but he's also inconsistent. So you have to look at the fact that, yes, he's a good shooter, but he has to be more consistent. C.J. Fair is the team's best player, and he doesn't get the ball. Brandon Trish is the second best player statistically, and he has to give that ball up more often than not to Michael Carter-Williams. So I'm not knocking the fact that Michael Carter-Williams has done good things for Syracuse. I will just point out to the people that want to come back to me after I have made the comments about Michael Carter-Williams and say, Dan, if it wasn't for him, they would have lost the game to Louisville. Yeah, you're right. If it wasn't for his two steals and going out in transition and making the dunk, they wouldn't have lost. But I also caution those people that if he didn't make those turnovers earlier on in the game before those two steals, they would have never been in the position to have to win in the final seconds of the game. So, Michael Carter-Williams does do good, but it's usually coming after mistakes that he's trying to back himself up from. And this is why it takes time. This is why there's 4 years of college. This is why institutions ask you to do this crazy thing called getting a degree so that you build yourself as a human being and you understand that on the court and off the court, life will affect you. And an 18-year-old mind, 19-year-old mind is not ready to move forward. And this team is not ready to move forward because there's not enough leadership. C.J. Fair is a guy who needs to literally take the ball when it's given it to him, back those guys down, and go inside. You see that his one-handed floaters, he could jam the ball, he can shoot from three-point, he's got a nice jumper inside the arc. He has a lot of work that he's done on his game, and he is one of the most underappreciated players out there because the conversation nationally is Michael Carter-Williams is great and Brandon Trish makes all the mistakes and James Sutherland is back. And that is not the truth. The truth of the matter is this team has a lot of talent, including Fair, Carter-Williams, Trish, all the guys I mentioned, but they have to utilize the talent to the best of their ability, and that is not happening right now, and it goes to Carter-Williams giving the opportunity to other players to get on the highlight reel or whatever it may be. I think C.J. Fair could care less if he was on a highlight reel. I think Brandon Trish might smirk about it, but at the end of the day, these guys want to win games. James Sutherland is back on this team, and you know that he cares, and he wants to win games. So when push comes to shove, they need to sit down. They need to look at these four losses, look at the fact that they're all away from the Carrier Dome, and tell themselves they will not be playing one NCAA tournament game at the Carrier Dome. Nothing will be in Syracuse. So they have to figure out how to get the job done. They have to figure out how to have the same killer instinct that they have when they're inside the Carrier Dome. Most of us are comfortable in our own home, but when we go to other people's houses, we don't know where to sit, we don't know where the bathroom is, we don't know if we should ask for something to drink or just get it ourselves. If we act that way, we're seeing the team act that way, they need to start going into houses, feeling comfortable, and believing that they belong there. And that's something that needs to happen sooner than later. Any other words that you want to say, Jason, before I let you go?
You know, I think your point about Michael Carter-Williams is well taken. He definitely has an I approach about him. Like, when you listen to him talk, it's always I. When you listen to Brandon Trish talk, it's always we. I think the team follows Michael Carter-Williams' lead, so they play like that. I really believe that for this team to get where it needs to go, C.J. Fair has got to get more. Or, I mean, they've got to get him more touches. Period. There's zero excuse for them to not. I would almost, if I was coaching, I would almost say he's got to get a touch every time down the court. That's how much I think he means to this team. He's got everything you want in a player. He's unselfish. He doesn't care about, you know, all the crap that Michael Carter-Williams seems to care about. He doesn't care about his stat sheet. He just wants to win. And he makes winning plays. He's a winning player. But when you don't have him in the game, which I still don't understand, but you have Sutherland in the game who made four threes, but also was slow on rotations and probably gave up 8 threes, or, you know, just as many as he made, and you leave him in the game, and you, I mean, I just, I boggles my mind. What did C.J. Fair do to be taken out of the game? He should play more minutes than anybody because he's the best player we have. And it's a very frustrating thing. The most frustrating thing, now that I think about it, as you know, that I think it's been mentioned before, is they're losing to teams with less talent than them. First weekend of the tournament, I'm guessing, we're going to play teams with less talent than us. If we play like, oh, we're Syracuse, we have more talent than you, so we can, you know, be lackadaisical and jog after loose balls and just sit back in the 2-3 zone 92% of the time and never do anything else, we will go home. We will lose to a team that comes out and says, we're playing Syracuse, we can make a name for ourselves, like Richmond, like Vermont, like those teams did. And if I'm fearful of going home on the first weekend. I'm fearful of every game we play, honestly, because we lost to a Temple team that's good, decent, but not great. A Villanova team that's not great. A Connecticut team that's probably the better of those three teams, but not great. So, you know, it's very frustrating. And we haven't even got to the meat of our schedule yet. We've still got to go to Georgetown, go to Marquette. Louisville comes to the Dome. Georgetown comes to the Dome. So something has to give. It's got to come from Boeheim. He's got to get this team together, and they've got to find a way. I mean, they've got to play better defense. I still believe they should press more. He waited too long last night. You know, I think you can play 85% zone or 90% zone and press 10% of the time every game. But I said there's some cases, Dan, and I've talked to you about this before, where you're just so lackadaisical in that zone and your offense is so stagnant, you almost need to press to get out of that stagnant phase. And he just seems like he will not do that because he doesn't want to give up one easy basket. Well, I got news for you. They gave up about 5 wide open threes. That's 15 points. We got outscored, what, 24 to 12 last night from the three-point thing. So, I mean, I guess I'm probably making a little more out of this game than I probably should, but it's just so frustrating when you feel like the effort isn't there, and then you don't understand certain things like why the best players on the bench for the last five minutes of the game, of an important game that we needed to win. It just doesn't make any sense, and it's very frustrating for a longtime fan like me to see him play like that.
Well, I think what you're bringing up, Jason, is the fact that there's problems on this team that show themselves, and, you know, it's a lot more visible in losses. People can forget about them or put them out of their mind after wins, and I don't do that. You know, I look at teams impartially, you know, and when they win a game, you still look at, you know, did they win this game because they won the game, or did they win the game because they got lucky? You know, the Cincinnati game at home, that was luck. The ball came off the hip of C.J. Fair,
absolutely.
Somehow rolled into the basket. So, you know, I mean, yeah, you have an undefeated record at home. You have 37 straight at home, but what does that win tell you? That wasn't to win. And looking at their last 7 games, 4 of them are against ranked opponents, Georgetown twice, Marquette and Louisville, as you brought up. So these games are games that they're going to have to go out there and make a statement, make a case for themselves. 20 wins is that's what you have to have. It's that elusive 20th win. Can you grab it? Can you hold on to it? That'll put you in the NCAA tournament. But to me, it's not about that. It's not about that at the end of the day. It's about talent. It's about, can you go up against the best of the best? And Syracuse right now cannot do that. And I think that games like this remind them that they cannot do that. Louisville has since fallen to 12th place after Syracuse has beaten them. I mean, they started to lose a lot more games. They lost to Villanova. That was a team that was ranked too high, and that was my belief for a while. So you look at games like that where Syracuse is going up against these teams and saying, well, Dan, they beat Louisville, but what is that saying about Syracuse? Because Connecticut just came in and could have killed you by more, but they didn't. They actually slowed the ball down. They got inside, and they would wait. This is a team that probably could have made this win on their end a lot bigger than 8 points, and they didn't. Shabazz Napier and Ryan Boatwright were two guys that on my scouting report were the guys that they needed to cover, the guys they needed to follow, the top two scorers, the guys that go after assists, the guys that are also out there getting rebounds. These were the guys that they had to shut down, and they did not. But they shut down Michael Carter-Williams and Brandon Trish. So Trish and Carter-Williams have to sit down and look at this game film and see what happened and how it happened. And Michael Carter-Williams has to ask himself, do you want to have your pocket picked and have somebody go down on any team, not just UConn, but any team, and have a wide-open dunk after you made a mistake? Everybody's going to make mistakes, but those mistakes cost you NCAA tournament games. So Syracuse is 20-4, but it is extremely telling about this team that four losses are all on the road. And they now have a 5-4 record on the road this season, so they're right by that 500 mark. So you can't even say that overall they've been playing better. That Arkansas win to a lot of people was a big win. But James Sutherland had to shoot out of his mind and make 9 3-pointers, 27 points, and have 35 overall for Syracuse to have a chance in that game. So there's a lot of changes that need to be made, and they need to be made soon. They head back to the road against Seton Hall, and then they're back at home against Providence, and then they face a ranked Georgetown team that's definitely going to give them a fight on Saturday, February 23rd. So a lot to come for Syracuse, and obviously hoping that you'll be a part of it. As always, Jason, thank you so much for calling into the show. I can't thank you enough.
Thanks a lot, brother.